A view from the C-suite.
Time for your first view from the C-suite of 2020 in partnership with Altron, bringing you closer to the business leaders around the boardroom table, be they the big boardroom table or the startup or even in the garage where the interview rules are made up and market caps don't matter. My next guest is certainly no stranger to Classic Business listeners, having been a finalist for the 2018 Entrepreneur of the Year. He's got almost two decades experience in financial services and is the founder and managing director of the Envisionit group of companies. Terence Naidu, great to have you in studio again.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me, Michael.
Looking at you, I mean, I've got to tell listeners that you've arrived in jeans and your slops. You're sporting a really tight-fitting black shirt, a little bit of a man bun there. Certainly not one who would automatically come across as someone who grew up in banking and financial services and that kind of staid tie-wearing industry. So you've broken free of that. And I want to dial back right to the very beginning before we talk about Envisionit Stock Lending Solutions. Where did you grow up? And did you see yourself in financial services when you were very young and painting your dreams?
Yeah, so I grew up in apartheid South Africa. So I grew up in an Indian township in Durban called Chatsworth. Went to an all-Indian apartheid school at the time. My teachers were all Indian. I lived in an Indian area. So there was not much diversity. But when I was in grade 10, standard 8, so I watched a movie called Wall Street. And something just stirred up inside of me. And I was like, I want to be that guy. I want to get into investment banking. But, you know, having grown up in an Indian township, I had no one in my extended family that had gone into banking. No one who'd qualified as, you know, with a BCom degree, and no one in finance really. So I think the closest was an aunt who worked in a retail bank. And so that desire and that spark that was lit all those many years ago was just always there. And it just, I never let it die, pretty much. You know, it was just something I knew I had to do. It just excited me so much. And I researched as much as I could, read as many newspapers, followed the currency markets at the time, because I thought, okay, that's where you start, the gold price and the oil price, and, you know, watch the news. That's where it all started, pretty much. So,
and then realize that one has to then go get the BCom and go into the field through the sort of traditional academic route. So you did a BCom investment management.
Yeah. So, but the BCom investment management, again, not having the guidance and the support to say, follow this route or that route, these are the subjects you need to do. I ended up doing 6 extra first-year subjects, 4 extra second-year subjects, because I had literally no direction. I had no one to tell me, this is what you should focus on. I just did stuff that looked cool, and I thought, let me try that. And it took me 9 years to get a 3-year degree. And I did study part-time through UNISA so that I could work full-time and fund my education. But I had fun doing it because I did stuff that, you know, people doing a normal degree just won't do.
Very similar to my own story, Terence. It took me 5 years to do a 3-year degree effectively, living and working and paying it off, studying at UJ, working in Melville in 7th Street. But I certainly don't regret the experience.
Not
I looked at,
all.
At the Fees Must Fall protests to get tertiary education funded for free, and I thought there's a value to self-funding yourself to teach you the discipline and give you a sense of real achievement that I perhaps fear we are losing with this call just for a blanket free education at tertiary level.
And my God, the discipline in working full-time, getting back home and burning the midnight oil to study and make sure you pass those exams, finish those assignments, waking up in the morning again to make sure you get the bus on time so you're not late for work. You know, it really makes you appreciate what we've gone through to get to where we are now. And a lot of people don't see that. They see where you are now and they think, I want that, not realizing the journey to get there.
And you can't rock up at 40 with zero experience and expect a seat at the boardroom table. Now,
not at all.
Before starting out on your own, in your previous roles, you were co-head of Sanlam Prime Services. You were head of operations at Peregrine Capital.
Yeah.
So that really primed you, no pun intended. Yeah. What did you gather from that time in corporate?
Corporate gives you a lot of discipline. And, you know, my journey has been super diverse and, you know, kind of zigzaggy sometimes. I worked in shipping at a sole proprietor in Durban initially. I worked in the UK. I moved to the UK when I was 19 years old. Left home when it was 35 degrees, got to London at 5, and I thought, what have I done? But it was an incredible just over 2 years of my life where I just learned so much. I worked for a cable TV company on Baker Street, and every time I walked down, I played Jerry Rafferty's song in my head, and I just loved and embraced the moment. And then I worked for an oil and gas company called Amoco, which merged with BP. In 1998-99 was the biggest industrial merger at the time. And here's this little South African guy that's involved in it, part of joint ventures. I just took it all in. So it was a diverse route. I worked at Nike when I got back to South Africa. And I got a great opportunity to work at Peregrine Capital, which is probably the longest running, best performing hedge fund in the country. Mm. And that is where the journey into investment banking started. But, you know, in corporate, I am super grateful for the discipline that it taught me, but for the four mentors that I've had in my life. And at Nike, I had my first mentor, and I'm sure some of the listeners may know Tebe Kalafeng,
yep,
the marketing guru. You know, he taught me the value of personal branding and how you associate your personal brand with your business brand. And, you know, it's got to flow. Your personal values need to go into your business as well. And Tebe was just one of those people that treats everyone the same way. It doesn't matter whether you're the cleaner, whether you're the CEO, whether you have a lot of money or you have no money at all. He's just Tebe. You know, I'm super grateful to have had him as one of my very first mentors. And post that, at Peregrine Capital, Nick van Rensburg, another mentor. At Sanlam, a guy called Gerard Erasmus, and Elias Masilela, who just so happens to be my colleague Ra's dad.
And former head of the PIC.
And the ex-head of the PIC. But, you know, none of them were mentors because of their titles. It was just the people that they were. And, you know, it's said a lot of times, but I tell my kids this a lot, you are the average of the people you spend the most amount of time with.
Mm.
And if you look at me, I feel like I'm an average of Tebe, Nick, Gerard, and Elias. And so you got to choose wisely. And I'm so glad I've been lucky enough to have those four men in my life.
I was going to ask you how much of your business journey so far you would attribute to luck versus hard work. But I want to ask you an even more searching question. Because mm-hmm. of your background and also what you've done with your businesses, growing up in apartheid South Africa, in an yeah. Indian community where everything was homogenized and designed by the government, you were quite clearly very aware of the past that we've come from. And now we're transitioning, we have been for 25 years, into a future where we want to break down those barriers
yeah.
and ensure that as many people can get access to mentors and networks as possibly can be. But a lot of those networks are still pretty much entrenched. Old yeah. school tie networks,
yeah.
whether or not you went to a St. John's or if you went to the right
yeah.
University.
Yeah.
How do we break those down institutionally and really live and breathe the spirit of transformation? Because so much of transformation in terms of what we see around BEE deals and patronage mm-hmm. and corruption has been hijacked. How do we yeah. go back to the spirit of what it's all about?
You know, it's for me personally, it was knowledge. And it was, you know, it's just soaking up as much knowledge, having an open mindset, meeting people, but not meeting them from a place of deficiency, but looking to, you know, get them to mentor me without them realizing that they were mentoring me, mm-hmm. asking them questions. Why did you do this? Or why did you do that? What have you learned? Getting to know them personally. And corporate afforded me that opportunity. I promise you, none of the four people I've mentioned realized they were mentoring me when they did. You know, it's personalities as well. And you're drawn to certain personalities, and obviously don't make yourself a nuisance, but, you know, a friendly demeanor always helps. It's just easier to help someone who's friendlier, who's willing to, you know, to go the extra mile, put in the extra effort, learn, research, get to know the person as well. So, you know, having grown up the way I did, having lived in the UK, I mean, when I left South Africa, it was 1996, just post-apartheid. And having grown up the way I did, I'd never had a non-Indian friend before that. And then you go to London and you see people with blue hair and purple hair and green hair, and you think, we've been boxed into black, white, Indian colored. What's that person?
Massive culture shock. Yeah.
Complete
sounds like
cultural
you spend
shock.
A lot of time in Covent Garden.
Yeah, but you come back and you learn while you're there is that It doesn't matter what color you are. People are people. We have the same hopes, ambitions, the same things that drive us, and the same wants for our kids and our families and our communities. Some of us have the same insecurities. It doesn't matter. Color is really nothing. You know, you take people at for who they are, not what color they are. And when people show you who they are, listen and take that to heart. You know, we've got a relationship with the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy, and I've been fortunate enough to meet Oprah over the last 5 years and spend some time with her. And that's one of the things she keeps saying to me: when people show you who they are, listen. Don't let them do the same thing to you over and over.
It sounds like a very mindful approach that you've taken to business. And over the last few years, I've seen mindfulness come up as something of a buzzword. And I always hate it when that happens, because you lose the essence of something when it goes into the realm of corporate buzzwordy speak.
Yeah.
But it is really down to what you've just said, seeing the individual and in so doing, unlocking their potential. But also, if you're a business leader, unlocking the potential of the teams that you lead. Because I was saying to you earlier, Terrence, any startup, any business is going to go through tough times. You're going to have days where you hit your head up against a brick wall and an idea doesn't work. But it's the ability to dust yourself up, get back up off the canvas and continue going. Have you cultivated that consciously, that mindfulness?
Without a doubt. But, you know, growing up the way we did, we had to always prove ourselves. We always had to be the best at what we did. We always had to make sure that, you know, we looked the part, we acted the part, we knew our industry or our job exceptionally well. We did the research to make sure that we were on par with the rest of the world and forward thinking enough. So, you know, I guess that was inculcated in me from a very young age, because I think that's what apartheid did. Apartheid made sure that you could go either way. You could just accept it and just, you know, accept the status quo. But I think I've been a bit of a rebel all my life, really. So I never accept the status quo. And how could I change it? I had to be better than everyone else in what I did. I had to show passion. I had to show desire to learn and improve in every facet of my life. You know, going back to another movie called Limitless, I tried to just design my life around that fact. Who says I can't run marathons and be a great dad and be a great businessman and great friend and a great husband and a great, you know, philanthropist at the same time as well? I don't want to be boxed. I've been boxed for half my life. I don't want to be boxed ever again. I want to do everything.
How do you manage to find the balance? Because so many executives have had to sacrifice one thing or another in order to get ahead, especially in the corporate world where it is extremely demanding. Yeah. There's a huge spotlight on executive remuneration. I don't think many people are aware just how much time and dedication it takes, 18 hours a day, to a corporation at the expense of your family, for example.
So when you're working and you're employed by someone, your job is from 9 to 5. I think Jack Ma said this. Your job's from 9 to 5 and your career is from 5 to 9. You know, one thing that democratized or that equalizes us all is the fact that we all have just 24 hours in the day. Doesn't matter if you're Warren Buffett or if you're Terrence Naidu or Michael Avery. We all have the same amount of time. It's what you do with that time that makes the greatest difference. So, you know, the routine is waking up super early, meditating to start off with, getting my mind right, doing a bit of exercise. You know, my mom always said to me, a healthy body cultivates a healthy mind.
Absolutely.
So you got to stay in shape. Your brain can't perform at its optimal level if your body's not there. You know, it's making sure that you're okay. And again, another thing that Oprah says, sorry, I'm going to quote her a lot because she's just so profound, is that your cup's got to be overflowing before you can help anyone else. So you can't help that many people with a half empty cup. You got to make sure that you and your cup is overflowing first. And so I try to make sure that my cup's overflowing in terms of where my headspace is at, where my body is at, the energy levels I have, and what are the things that fuel me as an individual? Spending time with my kids, spending time with my wife, spending time with my friends, being a better human being, knowing the past that we've had as a country, having been successful in business, what am I going to do with that? I always ask myself three questions. Have I lived, have I loved, and have I mattered? And if you can answer those questions positively, you've led a good life. Live as in, you know, have you enjoyed your life? Have you done things that excited you? Have you loved, whether it's a love for your country, whether it's a love for your wife and your kids or your family, love can transcend anything. And, you know, I truly love this country. And that's really driven a lot of the businesses that we've set up out of a love for this country as a whole.
And I think a lot of people are having the love for their country tested this very dark time.
Yeah.
But fantastic to speak to entrepreneurs such as yourselves who remain committed. And there are others that I've spoken to recently in the fintech space, Grenadella founders who've back from the UK to say, you know what, we see the issues with Eskom. We know Jacob Zuma stuffed the country up for the last decade, but we believe that the power of South Africa is in the strength of its people
Absolutely.
To recover.
And we've got amazing people in this country. I mean, if you think about what brought us out of apartheid, yes, we had incredible leaders, but it was ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And we forget that. We need to get back to that. Every single South African has greatness within them. We just got to let that shine. You know, I say that to my kids every day when I drop them off at school. You've got greatness within you. Let it shine. And more South Africans need to believe that. You know, we started off in investment banking. We've been quite successful and, you know, by luck and by lots of hard work and the universe conspiring for our success. But
this comes down to your last point, though, because I so rudely interjected. Have you lived? Have you loved? Do you matter?
Yes. And now do we matter? And that's what's driven us to set up the Bursary Foundation that we have. Thus far, we've sponsored 23 kids through their tertiary education. We've got 27 students on the program this year. We have 1,200 kids via learning online maths and reading via collaboration with Bright Lights and the Click Foundation with Nicola Harris. And last year, we awarded R1 million in prizes via the Envision It Prize, where we challenged grade 9 and 10 students to come up with the best water harvesting idea. Taking my hedge fund background and the concepts of gearing and leverage, how do you use gearing and leverage in a very positive way? I know people think gearing and leverage, hedge funds, oh my God.
Barbarians at the gate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This man's just evil, money, greed is good. No. So we took that concept and we said, how do we solve a challenge that the country faces? How do we mobilize and galvanize the youth to change the victim mentality, that you're not a victim to your circumstance anymore? You can rise above it and you can solve the challenges that we face.
Crowdsource the solutions.
Exactly. But we decided, okay, let's not crowdsource it, but we funded it ourselves. We incentivized them with R1 million in prizes via bursaries and cash. And when you solve challenges and you create innovative solutions, you're going to create a business that hires people to assist you in doing what you're doing, so you get job creation. That's the gearing and leverage that, you know, learned in hedge funds, but employing it in a feel-good and a South African good context.
More socially entrepreneurial manner.
Absolutely. And you know, it was a fantastic event. We awarded the prize last year. There's a company called My Fan Park that does shout-outs with celebrities, from celebrities. And, you know, we awarded the prizes, the cash prizes and the bursaries. And we had shout-outs from Brian Habana, Jean de Villiers, and I think it was Faf de Klerk, if I'm not mistaken. And the kids absolutely loved it. And it's just, I love those feel-good type businesses where it's not really, it's not always about, you know, how much impact we have and that type of stuff. But it's also, how do you make people feel? And that's one of those businesses I really liked.
And, and we need a lot of that, Terrence, in this country. We need to inspire a lot of hope, because the narrative, that hackneyed word, is very negative in South Africa at the moment. So much so that just this week we had encouraging retail sales numbers. Go on to Twitter and mention the word encouraging retail sales numbers and you get lambasted. How can you be positive about the country? And the narrative is so negative. I just want to zoom in as we reach the end of our time on the businesses that you've established. Yeah. Now, Envision It is a group of companies now. Yeah. You've recently rebranded to Truzo on your e-payment side.
Yeah.
Just tell me broadly what your vision is for Envision It.
So, nice word, right? So the vision has always been business for good. And now we've got two tech businesses, Truzo, which is we've basically created a digital escrow platform. We've created the world's first escrow app. And in a country that's been plagued by corruption and people being scammed, we did a lot of research looking at what causes greater amounts of GDP growth, what gets countries to grow more. And we realized that it's in economies with higher levels of trust, we have high levels of GDP. And if you look at where we are with our GDP, it's pretty easy to say that we have super low levels of trust after all these years of institutional corruption in both the public and private sector. So we wanted to start something and start a movement of trust. So Truzo comes from the words trust zone, and escrow is to hold in trust. So if you're buying and selling something and you don't know the person you're dealing with, you put your funds in Truzo. Truzo confirms with the seller the funds are there. And when the seller delivers to the goods or services to the buyer, Truzo releases payment. In that way, the buyer gets exactly what they're paying for and the seller gets paid within 24 hours of delivery. I mean, think about Eskom paying 30 million rand, not Eskom, it's SAA paying 30 million rand a month for fuel that was never delivered, right? Now, if you put your funds in Truzo and payment is only released on delivery, you would never have that again. Think about, you know, I'm going to mention Carte Blanche, and all the people being scammed on there would pool contractors. Mm. If you have your funds in Truzo, you'd never have to pay a deposit to anyone you don't know. As they do work, certain parts of the payment is released. You only get full payment when the whole job is done. Nobody ever has to get scammed again. We're going to create a movement of trust. And when we increase trust, we increase people trading, you increase trade, increase the velocity of money, and you increase GDP growth. Higher levels of GDP increase employment in the country, and we reduce our 29% unemployment rate. It's just everything's intertwined, but you've got to drill down to the very most impactful degree, and that's what we've done with Truzo.
And in terms of growth, scaling the business, I believe you're looking internationally already for growth opportunities.
Yeah, so we were awarded by the UK government's UKSA Tech Hub program as one of South Africa's top 7 tech innovations. And with a lot of support from the UK government, hopefully we can get as much support from our government.
That's a topic of conversation for another 30 minutes.
Absolutely. Jared. We're setting up our offshore entity so that we can take multiple currencies in the most efficient manner. So we want to promote more international trade coming into South Africa and the rest of Africa. But if knowing that the trade's going to be de-risked now via using Truzo, that's where we want to go.
I think it's a fantastic solution and a really great innovation coming out of South Africa. If you were to say there was one message that you would like to impart with listeners, as an entrepreneur who's walked a very interesting path, not a typical path of going and studying a CA and then doing that and having all, you really have followed a very unique career path. What would that be?
You know, I attended Dr. Maponya's funeral on Tuesday, and firstly, you know, we've got to acknowledge those entrepreneurs that came before us, but there's so many lessons from him that I've learned, and so many other great entrepreneurs. Firstly, resilience. Do your research. Stop waiting for someone else to tell you more about your business. You need to know your business inside out, and that's the most important thing. Nothing just happens. And it's the taste of success is so much sweeter when you've worked hard for it. It's not just about getting a tender, a BEE tender or that type of stuff, a government tender, not really performing it and, you know, driving around in a fancy car and all that kind of stuff. The harder you work for it, the sweeter the taste of success. So embrace hard work. Don't shy away from it. Do a lot of research. Ask people that are in the same industry or same business or have done some of the things that you want to do. And, you know, everyone has a smartphone these days. You have access to the internet. There's no excuses for not knowing things. You know, growing up, we had to go find someone who had an encyclopedia. Now you can just Google anything you want. So there's no reason for you not to know every single aspect of your business. And, you know, when I started off, it was just me. I was the accountant, I was the sales guy, I was the compliance guy, I was literally everything. But the beauty of that is that when I hired staff, nobody could tell me something that wasn't true because I'd done it already.
And you knew exactly the sort of skills that that you were looking for in that position.
Exactly.
That said, how do you recognize a promising potential business partnership or employee?
Yeah.
Well, how do you evaluate that? Because I've sat next to many people, CFAs, CAs, who say, the numbers actually are quite easy. In a deal, what I've found the most difficult transactionally is evaluating the person sitting on the opposite end of the table.
Absolutely. You know, Jewish people have a word for it. It's called chutzpah, right? You got to see that fire in someone, that passion, that desire. You know, and when you love what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. I feel like I haven't worked for the last 10 years because I love what I do so much. And you want someone who's willing to go that extra mile and just not show that it's work, really. So you want to see that desire come out in them. You want to see that chutzpah come out in them. I've quoted, I think, just about every racial group here now.
Okay.
There's a bit of Jewish, there's a bit of Afrikaans, sort of, there's a bit of Zulu in this. It's everyone talks about that something. And you want to see that passion, that desire come out.
And isn't it that diversity that really makes South Africa this fantastic country that it is?
Oh, yeah.
Laced and laden with so much potential.
There is strength in our diversity.
When it all comes together, as it does so often on the sports field for our rugby team in particular, we can really compete with the very best in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, nobody knows our challenges like we do. So why are we waiting for American and UK and European companies to innovate for us? There's greatness within South Africans. We can innovate and we can solve our challenges better than anyone else can.
Fantastic message to start 2020 with Terence Naidoo, Managing Director and Founder of the Envisionate Group of Companies, sharing his view from the C-suite, brought to you by Ultron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. Remember, you can visit them at ultron.com for more information.